Hello, I'm Sebastian Gonzalez. I wrote this guide, and periodically I'll do some updates onto the guide and kind of foster all the questions that people have been asking via Instagram and emails and so on. And I'm very appreciative for you guys buying the guide. However, I think there's a need to clarify a couple things. I apologize, number one, because the guide keeps getting longer. Like, it started as like 5 pages or so, but as people started to ask more questions, it tends to get longer, but sometimes when it gets longer, people say, oh, it's too long, I don't want to read this much. However, I'm going to keep referencing back into the guide because I'm trying to make it as complete as possible. So this is going to be an update for lower back and hip, groin, thigh, even foot, ankle, knee, or what we call lower extremity. The conversation first I want to have is number one, I'm very thankful for everybody reaching out and asking for help and so on, but this is a hard conversation for me because I really do want to help and guide you guys. However, by law, I'm not allowed to guide you virtually unless I've seen you in person, okay? And so it's always hard for me to respond to everybody and say, look, by law, I'm not allowed to, you know, give you anything direct. Thank you for buying the guide. The guide's the best way I can possibly kind of lead you into the right direction without really outstepping my boundaries. So it's a self-help guide, guys. I just want you to understand that. For that price, I charge people a lot more to do one-on-one stuff, so I don't want to be a jerk with this, but I can't direct you one-on-one. However, there is an opportunity if you do want to fly in to see me or drive in to see me. I'm in Southern California, Huntington Beach. It's a great place to vacation. If you came in once and allow me to look at you and collect all the information in the exam that is needed to actually guide you specifically, then I can for about a month virtually, and that's within my parameters of being okay and being a good clinician. So if that's something you guys want to do, you can always email me. It's info@p2sportscare.com. Again, it's not the easiest option for everybody, but the other options is, just like in the guide, is a big boy conversation. There's all those providers all around, so if you guys are really struggling to get out of the weeds with stuff, that's the best option. I know all those people personally. They're very good at what they do, and I think you'll be surprised how quickly things will improve for you if you get under the right care. You might have been suffering with having the wrong care, and so I just want to guide you to that, or if you want to see me, just come see me once, and then I can gather all the information. The examination in person is literally gathering data. I don't know anything about your problem until I gather the information, so even asking for help and maybe this and maybe that and try that exercise and, like, you know, wanting that information from me via social media or email, it's not useful to you guys. The guide that I've created is based upon what works with a lot of people. However, I was going into in a little bit the step-by-step process. You haven't even covered step one with me in person, which is diagnosis, because I'm not managing you. All you've really done is gone through, you're looking at steps 2 through 4 in the guide. Now, the first concept I think we need to cover today is we're going to cover centralization versus peripheralization and knowing if first aid's a good choice. Second is selecting first aid. Then we're going to go into kind of buffering. And so probably one of the most common questions I get is, hey, it's not working for me. I'm trying this, what do I do? And I'll say, well, you know, I'm curious, tell me more about that. And so sometimes people will say, well, it's, say they have sciatica or leg pain or calf pain or foot pain. In this case, plantar fasciitis could be, as we mentioned in the guide, it could be a manifestation of a nerve issue. And anytime with nerve issues, that includes knee issues, thigh ones, sometimes groin ones, sciatica, hamstring ones, anytime the symptom or a problem goes further away from the spine, we call it peripheralization, meaning it's moving to the periphery. That's actually not a good thing. It actually means that you probably selected first aid that was wrong. And so in office, when I work with people, I go through a battery of tests to figure out what is the right first aid for them. In truth, the press-up is actually wrong for some people when it actually could make them a little bit worse. But in contrast, maybe doing the door jam might be better. Or maybe the sideline one is even better. And so usually when the problem goes further away from the spine, then the answer is no, it's not the right choice. What we want is what we call centralization. It comes to the center, kind of like a thermometer. And some people might notice that, well, it's out of my foot and it's into my hamstring. Is that better or is that worse? And the hamstring really is tight, and I feel like I can't run now, but I could before. Is that worse? Well, no, it's probably better because it moved upward. You have to get it to move upward, and I'll tell you one of my friends told me when I first started. He said that even if it moves out of the leg and into the back and it becomes a 10 out of 10 pain, it's actually better. And so intensifying symptoms even into the low back and spine and sometimes neck, if you're working at an upper extremity problem, it's not an uncommon thing. It's just something that goes along with the territory for about a day and then it goes away too. But this is why people need to work with people one-on-one, because it's hard to know all this kind of stuff and you need to be reassured, you know? So centralization is what we want. We don't want things to go to the periphery, even if it feels like it's less intense and it's just like, it's okay. It's just a numbness. No, it's not okay. Things need to go to the center. If they don't go to the center, you probably picked the wrong first aid. Now, selecting a first aid, this is kind of how I go through with people we can always use a history to get a good idea of what might work, but we might always choose wrong. That's why I like to test things out with a directional preference. Now, with the press-ups, most of the time, if I were to generalize, a lot of times the press-ups is for people that have stuff into the lower back, the piriformis, the hamstring, sometimes the calf, that is worse with bending forward. It's worse in the morning. It's a stabbing, aching. It's worse with tying shoes, prolonged sitting. When they start to get up out of the chair, they say, I've been sitting too long, and it takes them a couple steps to really straighten up and start walking and feeling better. A lot of times these ones are press-up cases, and press-ups, just as mentioned in the guide, they're first aid first aid period of time. If press-ups become a common thing, it's actually not uncommon for people to have other symptoms that create, like groin pain and thigh issues and adductor strains, quote unquote. They'll start to feel stuff on the other side, because what's good for the spine with press-ups is not good for other things, and so it affects little nerve roots. And that's kind of what, if you've looked at multiple guides, you'll see that some of the guides are very similar. They're just kind of moving in a different direction because people are in different places with these problems. I've noticed a lot of people with that used to have a low back disc now all of a sudden have groin and thigh and adductor or hip impingement or inner knee pain because they've done too much extension with their low back. They've arched too much. And so they never stripped away the first aid, and that's why I talk about the buckets. Also, too, a lot of the people who will benefit from the press-up are usually lifters, CrossFitters, new runners, or deconditioned people as well. Desk workers or people who sit for a living usually work pretty well with this. And whenever I tend to see people with sneezing and worse pain in the morning, especially exiting bed, and it starts to loosen up after about 30, 40, 50 minutes, usually these people fare pretty well with press-ups. But again, it's all in the examination, and you need to be seen by somebody. First aids that are the sideways ones and the door jam ones, these are ones are when I hear of someone having not necessarily back pain, but they have stiffness, they kind of discount it as like, it's just normal for me, you know, and it's not a big deal. And they're like, well, my hamstring's tight, my IT band's tight, my groin, my hip, my inner knee, my foot. And they're actually very, very active people in regards to human locomotion. Like they run a lot. And so in the other group, I said new runners, because new runners they're kind of up and down. They're usually deconditioned to start. But I mean, when I see someone coming in with like 50, 60, 70, 80 miles a week, and they also walk around for a living and they do, you know, weight training as well, like these people are a lot of times much more extension. They have an extension habit with the low back. They kind of sway a little bit. And so sometimes too much sway creates more problems, like I mentioned earlier. And so these people tend to work better with the door jam or the sideways first aids that I have listed. Usually I start with about these 3 to 4 first aids. And after that, it's usually best practice just to get people into bucket 2 as soon as possible. But usually these people are seasoned runners. They stand and walk a lot throughout the day. It might get worse throughout the day for them. And usually bending backwards feels a little tight and sometimes provokes the problem. When selecting the right first aid, I know that I've been wrong on this many times in office, and I usually go with, if I find one where it's, like, say, like the sideline one with someone who has hamstring problems, we'll go the sideline one, and they, I say, does your hamstring feel painful in this position? Is it tight? And they say, no, I feel nothing. Perfect. I look for this 100% comfort position when at all possible. Not everyone can find it. Sometimes that door jam squat is 100% comfortable for people. When bending backwards or press up is not. And so I just go for the comfortable one. And the thing that kind of, I think the reason I'm probably in business is because people tend to look for the stretch. They look for the discomfort in the corrective thing, and it's not always needed. We're just depressurizing things. And so usually I'll have them say, I'll say, hey, look, what movement bothers the problem? Let's just say in this one hamstring. Well, walking. Go ahead and walk. Come back here. Let's do the sideways one for about a minute or so, and I want you to go walk again. And what I'm looking for is a 30% improvement immediately. And when they say, when we see 30, I know I'm on the right track, and that's why I tend to dose it out a little bit more, as I mentioned, dosage. But sometimes, and I did have an interaction with someone who said, well, you know, that didn't work for me because it didn't take it all away. I said, well, how much did it take it away? And they said 50%. I'm like, that's great. That's great for spending a minute in a position, you know. So it's a looking glass approach. And so, again, if with the first aid, I'll look for the no stretch or feel 100% comfort, and I'll look for a 30% improvement just at that point. And this happens with low backs, it happens with groins, it happens with inner knees, it happens with feet, it happens with piriformis, it happens with a lot of things. And just a lot of times people just are not they're not knowledgeable about what to try. And that's why I put those first aids there. And a lot of times not doing enough first aid or not doing the right first aid is what makes it so, you know, bucket two and corrective exercise and that type of thing doesn't tend to work very well. So an example of someone who was using bucket two, or sorry, the first aid really well with the sideways one, the door jam one, was they were actually running and they felt their hamstring cramp up, and they said, well, I'm wondering if I should go to my PT. I'm like, well, you should certainly go to your PT. However, hamstring cramping, a lot of times the nerves will tell it to become hyperactive. So I'm like, you know, I think the sideways one is one that I would try with people in office. And so they tried it. They had a 30% improvement right at that point in time. And within a couple of days, they felt much better. And they're running again. So that's one example of how the sideways ones or the door jam ones tend to work for people. The last first aid that I put is it's for people who are not sure. And I call it the rescue position. You're face up, your legs are on a table or a bench or a chair, and you're just hanging out and breathing. Breathing is an important part in first aid. Not everybody does it. Some people think it's kind of not really that helpful, and they go to a provider and they're like, well, they just told me to breathe. This is stupid. It's not. It's really not. It builds an internal support like a water balloon, because the organs tend to compress against the spine and it supports it. And so this is for one that I give people that really don't know what to do, and they're just a little bit confused. Let me lay out a little bit now about what stuff looks like when people come into my clinic, because I bring this topic up because people, I think, are at a misunderstanding of how long it should take to feel better. I have a friend that said it very well. He said, the easy thing is getting people out of pain. The hard thing is keeping them out of pain. And that's where I mentioned building the buffer and why I said bucket three, it takes so long. And so when someone comes in my office, I explain there's about five steps to really improving low back pain, piriformis, IT band, groin, inner knee, and plantar fasciitis, like all these things that are lower extremity problems. I said, number one, we need a correct diagnosis, okay? And that's in my examination. And I collect all the data points. And from there, I know what I need to know to help guide that person. Number two is doing first aid. Kind of how you saw on the guide. Like first aid, again, selecting the first aid is very important. And after that, within about 5 days or so, they should feel 50% better. Like I tell them like 50%, but I kind of, like a lot of times we see like 75 or more, you know. But it doesn't mean they've actually done any other activities to really provoke it. So usually on day one, we do step one, which is diagnosis and examination. Step two, we also do on the same day, which is we implement the first section of first aid. Throughout the next week, the person's required to do the first aid to see if it works, and they come back and they say, great, I feel so much better, now what? And so we go into step three, which is going to be endurance. So we end up doing a bunch of cylinder stuff, which is front wall, so belly, front wall, side wall, back wall, and we start to prime up the glutes. And we'll sometimes go into step four on that same day, which is going to be hinging movements and squats and carries and pushing and pull and so on. And so usually through the second day, because I don't want to give too many exercises on one day because it kind of overwhelms somebody, we'll do three belly wall or three step three things, the endurance parts, because the belly wall is about endurance, not strength. It's can it hold position? Can it react to your posture when you're moving and running and lifting? And we go into one step, one of the step fours or bucket threes. Sorry, I need to improve my nomenclature here. But we work into strength, and that'll be just one thing. The next time I see them, which is within about 1 to 2 weeks, we add strength. They should already be doing their bucket two, which is the endurance, or their step three. So they should be doing endurance work on the ground on their belly already. And so we just get into the strength work. The last part is adding movement variability. Strength, though, like I mentioned in the book, it takes time. Like the body has to adapt. It takes time. And so, but you'll notice that as I've kind of mentioned this, within a week, I've already got them into the strength portion. They're already in bucket three. And I notice that people tend to lag on this because when they self-guide, because they don't know timelines, they don't know how to really figure out what they need to do and when. And so that's all laid out in the guides just to show you what should be done. But again, I'm not telling you that the guide is an end-all. I need you guys to see somebody so they can help you implement, all right? You can read all the real estate books all that you want, but it's really easy just to have a hire a real estate agent to do it. And so I really do suggest that you guys do that. And I think if you're wondering like, well, why the heck did I buy this guide? Well, for the price of admission, you're getting way more information. You're getting way more ahead than anybody probably ever gave you. And so use that information to find the solution. And I'd love to see you guys. So please come see me. And I'd love to help you out virtually. I do think I can help you out quite a bit. Just give me the opportunity to collect all the information. I hope that was helpful in clearing the air with a little bit of stuff that you guys have been asking. Again, I'd love to help as much as I can, but it's impossible for me to give you a direct suggestion. So please just tell me what you're experiencing. I'd love to hear that feedback so I can keep making updates and improve how these guides are. But I'm just going to respond back with, I'm sorry, I cannot help directly. And please don't take offense. But I'm just trying to stay within my professional parameters. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for buying the guide. And keep looking for the next updates.